I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Would you also turn to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I'd like also to look at some other scriptures as we go on, but the reason I have read these two passages is because we find a place in the experience of Abraham and in the experience of Paul where they learned that Christ was all. But you know, it takes us time in our Christian lives often to be brought to this point, and the way that God uses is not always a way that is pleasant, but it's always with that end in view. Because His desire is not to take things from us, but to make us realize what a portion we have in Him. And oh, dear young people, it's just like when you accept the Lord as your Savior, God gives you a vast jewel box. It says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But you know that this world still has many things that glitter, many things that look worthwhile. And the Lord has to teach us bit by bit how empty these things are. But as He takes from us one thing and another, as He knocks away one prop and another, it's always that He Himself might become more precious to us, that He might be truly our all in all. And so when the Lord appeared to Abraham in this 15th chapter of Genesis, he had passed through quite a number of experiences in his life, experiences that were not pleasant, experiences that were very trying to the flesh. But it was because the Lord, who had called him out from his country and from his kindred, wanted to be his shield and his exceeding great reward. And dear young person, the Lord Jesus wants to be everything to you. He didn't just die to save your soul from hell, from the just penalty of your sin. He died because He wanted your company. He wanted you to be His companion forever. And He didn't want you to wait till you got to heaven to find what His companionship is. He wanted you to enjoy it even here and now as you go through this life. When the Lord was about to leave His disciples, He said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We all look forward with joyful anticipation to that time when all the trials and difficulties of the way will be left behind, and we shall be supremely happy, as it tells us in Psalm 16. It says, In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And again, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink the rivers of thy pleasure. But I say, we know that that is before us at the end. But the Lord wants us to experience these things here and now, and the removal of those things on which we lean, and those things that seem important to us in life, is only to make us realize more that the Lord is weaning us so that our hearts might be drawn out to Him. All my fresh springs are hid in thee. So let us turn back to the 11th chapter of Genesis and the 31st verse. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Well, first of all, it tells us in the 7th chapter of Acts, the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he dwelt in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, saying, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Perhaps this call would answer to the time when one receives Christ as his Savior. If there's anyone here who is not saved, I'm sure that you are just part and parcel of this world. Your only portion is this life. The Bible says men of the world have their portion in this life. That's what they live for. It's all they have. It was said to the rich man in hell, Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And if there's an unsaved young person here this afternoon, and all you have is this life, I'm sorry for you. You may say, well, I'm having a good time. But those are the pleasures of sin for a season. You're part and parcel of this world. Abram was an idolater, perhaps a large property owner, perhaps a successful farmer. Perhaps everything seemed to be going his way, and knew little of disappointment back there in Ur of the Chaldees. And then the God of glory appeared to him and said, Get thee out. Get thee out. God had called him to a new inheritance. And the time came in your life, I trust it has come, when you saw this world with all its pleasures and all it had to offer to you as a place that was under judgment, a place that couldn't satisfy the longings of your heart, a place that had nothing abiding. And perhaps like Abram, you heard that call and you came out. You received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You became one of His, no longer part of the world, because the Lord Jesus said, They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And Abraham left the country where he was, with all its fine idols, with all his property and possessions that he probably had there. He left them all behind. He went out at the call of God. The God of glory had appeared to him. And I say again, I hope that happy day has come in your life when you have received the Lord Jesus, when you have heard the call calling you to come to Him, to have your sins forgiven, and to have a home up there in glory. It tells us in the 11th of Hebrews that if he had been mindful of that country whence he came out, he might have had opportunity to have returned. That is, Abram never wanted to go back to Mesopotamia, and no one who is truly the Lord would ever want to become again part of the world that's under judgment. But poor Abram's heart, you know, did sometimes hanker after the pleasures of the world, but he never wanted to go back to his old position. And you say, oh, thank God, I'm one of His, and I certainly wouldn't want to be in the position of those that are unsaved with judgment upon me. awaiting the time when God will have to send the lost into the lake of fire. Well, this we'll say was the first thing that Abraham, so to speak, parted with. That which he once held dear, what was once gained to him, he counted lost. He left Ur of the Chaldees behind. He came out at the call of God. But God had said, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And you'll notice that Abraham was only partially obedient. True, he turned his back upon the land where he was. True, he never went back to live in Mesopotamia again. He was forever delivered from that place. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you're forever delivered from the position of condemnation, and you're one who is on your way to glory. What, are you just going to come part way? Are you just going to go part way? God had said to Abram, from thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And he was 50% obedient. 50%. He left his country, and he left his kindred, but he didn't leave his father's house, if we could consider Lot as part of his father's house. He left at least his country, and the most of his kindred, we'll say, but he brought his father along with him. And indeed, more than this, he even allowed his father to be the influencing one in connection with the path that he took. Because it says in the 31st verse where we began, and Terah took Abram. That is, he allowed his father, who was not a believer as far as we know, to become the influencing one in his life. And isn't it quite possible, dear young person, that after you're saved, you can allow some relative, some unconverted friend, to be the influencing one in your life and to hinder you from fully following the Lord Jesus? Oh, how easy it is. And if Terah was a believer, he may possibly have been. At least he was not one who wanted to wholeheartedly walk in the company of the one who had called Abraham. Oh, dear young person, is there such a thing in your life? Is there someone that is a real friend of yours, one you cling to, be it a relative or otherwise, and you know that person is quite content to settle down in Haran? Now they tell us that this place, Haran, was a place where the caravans coming from the east and from the west could meet. It was sort of a crossing place. It certainly was removed from Ur of the Chaldees, but it wasn't in Canaan. It wasn't in the land where God had called Abram. No, it was a place, if we could put it in this way, where he could meet those coming both ways. Oh, isn't it very easy for us when we're first saved to settle down in Haran? To say, oh yes, thank God I'm saved, but you know, there's a lot of nice people in the world, a lot of nice friends that I have. I'd like to be able to sort of meet them too. And so you settle down in Haran. You're brought under the influence of someone, and the Lord doesn't have the place he should have in your heart and life. Oh, isn't it so easy? Oh, every one of us, I suppose, can confess and do confess that this has had its place at some time or other in our lives, that some person had a tremendous influence over us and hindered us from fully following the Lord, fully making him the object of our hearts. For as I said at the beginning, the Lord not only wanted to save us from hell, and he has, but he wants our company. The Lord wanted to be a friend of Abraham. It tells us later he was called the friend of God. What an expression. He was called the friend of God. But was he that when he was in Haran? No, the Lord didn't appear to him again until he came into Canaan. And it may be, dear young person, that there's someone here and you're settling down in Haran. Well, God allowed a second thing to come into the life of Abraham. There was first the turning his back upon Ur of the Chaldees. But now, God removes this person that he was looking to. And perhaps God has brought some disappointment into your life. Perhaps there was someone that you looked to and was a real friend, and the Lord allowed a disappointment to come. Perhaps that person was seriously injured, perhaps taken away in death, and the Lord spoke to you through that. I believe the Lord spoke to Abram through the death of his father. When his father died, it tells us in the 7th of Hebrew, in the 7th of Acts, rather, after his father had died, then he came out into Canaan. And has God brought some such disappointment into your life? Has there been some sorrow? Oh, remember, I say, it's because he loves you. It's because he wants to bless you. He wants to be your all in all. He wants to be everything to you, dear young person. He's going to be everything to you in heaven. You're not going to want anything of the world or of the unsaved up there. He wants to be your all in all right now. And if at this very moment there has been some disappointment come in your life, some friend, some relative, someone that you leaned on has been removed, it's because the Lord is saying, get thee into the land where he wanted Abram to be. That is, into the land that I will show thee. He wants to be more to you than he's ever been before. And the removal of that friend, that disappointment, that sorrow that has come into your life is only because he wants to be more precious to your heart. And so when Terah had died, then Abram pulled up stakes. He said goodbye to Haran. And it tells us in the 4th verse, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Aaron took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Oh, wasn't this nice? And I wonder if the trials that come in your life and mine cause us to pull up stakes if there's something that's a hindrance, and to follow the Lord Jesus more devotedly. It tells us, you know, in the Proverbs, that a false weight and a false balance are an abomination to the Lord. Sometimes we put too high a value on things that are really dumb and wrong. And when the Lord removes those things, it's that we might see more of what we have in him. But isn't it lovely here? Abram departed as the Lord had said unto him. And it tells us that he took everything from Haran. He didn't just leave a few things there. So that if Canaan wasn't what he expected it to be, he could go back. He might have left a few things there and said, well, I'll take a little trip into Canaan and see what it's like. If it's not all that I expect, then at least I'll have some link that I can feel I can go back there. No, he didn't. He took up everything. He wasn't going to allow such a thing as that which would tempt him to go back. As the expression in the world goes, he burned his bridges behind him. He didn't leave those things that would pull him back. And oh, how often we leave something, some little link with the world, some secret thing that we don't wholly give up for the Lord. And then when we get cold in our souls, it's just like a spring, and it pulls us back to that thing that we once left. But how lovely it is to see here that after this, Abram, he left Haran, and you know, he was 75 years old when he learned this. Oh, it takes us a long time to learn some lessons, doesn't it? It takes us a long time, 75 years old, before he said goodbye to Haran. So, if there's anyone here, or someone here that's perhaps a little bit older than the young people, perhaps it's a little word for you and I here too. Something for us to remember. We're not too old to learn this lesson. Some of us, it takes a long while to learn these things. And that's why I believe that God tells us how old Abram was before he left Haran and came into that land. And God brought him into that land. He said, I will bless thee and make thee a blessing. Oh, dear young person, God wants to bless you. It's going to be His eternal joy to show the exceeding riches of His grace, to shower kindness upon kindness, fresh kindnesses every day for all eternity. He's going to shower upon His own. And He wants you and I to realize this even now. And oh, I would beseech of you, if there's a trial or sorrow come into your life, don't get under it. Rise up and follow the Lord Jesus a little more closely. Seek to go on for Him, because we only have the rest of our time to live not unto ourselves, but unto Him. And so it tells us they took all their substance, and then Lot went along. Well, I suppose Lot in the scripture is a sort of an illustration to us of a person who goes along with others without any real exercise. Because we find with Lot that when Abram left Ur of the Chaldees, he came with him. When he went down into Egypt, he went with him. When he came back to Canaan, he went with him. Back to Canaan. He was one of those people that just sort of went along with others. And it may be that there's someone here. You have godly parents. You have friends who influence you in the right direction. Thank God for that. But the time's going to come in your life when you're going to be tested whether you're really following Christ. Whether you're really following Christ. It took quite a while before that test came in Lot's life. And some of us brought up in Christian homes, because the influence is so much for good, we sort of drift along with our brethren and with our parents. But the testing time has to come. It has to come sooner or later. And it came in Lot's life too. But I was particularly concerned about Abraham, and so I just mention about this. So, first of all, he's left his country. Now we find the second thing, why God has taken away his father. And he profited by this, and he follows the Lord more devotedly. So it tells us here in the 8th verse, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Well, there's been nice progress here with Abram. Here he is now. He has come to this place with Bethel, which means the house of God, on the west, and Hai, which means a heap, on the east. To my own heart, it brings before us this fact that as we journey on through life, the sun sets in the west. He had Bethel before him. There, when he faced the west, when he faced on toward the end of the day, as it were, he had the house of God before him. And that was where he had his altar. And behind him was all that he had left, Hai. A heap of rubbish. That's all this world really is. What fine progress Abram had made up to this point. And perhaps the Lord has led you along. Perhaps He's even gathered you to His precious name. I hope He has. He wants to be not only your Savior, He wants to be your friend. And He wants not only to be your friend, but He also wants you to know Him as the one who has gathered you to His precious name. What a privilege we have this morning of being gathered around the Lord. What a privilege Abram had to be in this place. Where he pitched his tent, where he built his altar. He was a true pilgrim. He didn't have the possessions that he once had back in Ur of the Chaldees, but he had the Lord. He was where the Lord wanted him to be. He had his tent, and he had his altar. He was a pilgrim, but he was in the presence of the one who spoke to him there at that altar. But this was no guarantee that he was going to be kept. There were more lessons for Abram to learn. And some of us have learned perhaps more lessons since we've been at the Lord's table than we learned before. Yes, some of us have had to learn more since than we did before. And I believe Abram had to learn some lessons here. Well, a famine came. A famine came. Yes, came right in the place where the Lord had called him. Could it be that if he had actually done the mind of God and had come out into this very land where the Lord wanted him to be, that there could be a famine? Yes, there can. And there might come a famine in the assembly where you are. Yes, maybe when you first took your place, you were so happy because you had the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus. And oh, what joy filled your heart. But sometimes difficulties arise, even in God's assembly. Sometimes trials come, and the enemy might whisper, well, is this really God's assembly when all these troubles and trials seem to be coming up? It was God's place for Abram. It was where the Lord wanted him to be. It was the place where he came back to later when he was restored. But there was a famine. What should he do when there was a famine? What should you do? Should you leave the meeting? Should you run away from trouble when it comes? Is that the way the Lord would have us do? Was this the right thing for Abram to do? Well, he apparently thought it was. At least that's what he did. And that's exactly what Elimelech and Naomi did. When years later a famine came in the land, we find that Elimelech and Naomi took their family, pulled out from Bethlehem, Judah, and went down to the land of Moab. And all this has happened since. This has happened since. There have been people, when a famine came, they pulled out. They left. Did they gain anything by it in their souls? Oh, no, dear young people. We lose by such things. And oh, I trust the Lord will keep you. I know that some of you are living in places where there are trials. God doesn't minimize these facts, and we can't make nothing of them. The enemy makes the special target of his attack upon the spot where the Lord has placed his name. He does all he can to upset such a testimony and to upset you so you won't remain in that place. And so here was a famine came into the land. Well, did the Lord intend that Abraham then should go someplace else, I say, to escape the famine? No, the Lord wanted to be more to him than even the land itself. He wanted to be more to him than all the fine crops of Canaan. He wanted to be everything to him. And dear young person, you may never really appreciate in a full way what it is to be gathered to the Lord's name until the Lord has sustained you through some trial in the assembly. And when you went through that trial, you found out and you learned for your own soul what you hadn't learned before, what it was to be really gathered to his name. To see no man anymore save Jesus only. To have him as the object before your heart and not your brethren. Not the nice ministry that you hear in the meeting. No, nothing like that. Not even the nice thing in your fellowship. Those things may fade. God was taking away the props on which Abram might lean. He left the land of Chaldees. He left all that he had there. Now his father was gone. Surely everything was going to be smooth now because he was in the place where God wanted. But no, a famine came. He had to learn that he mustn't look at things, and he mustn't look at people, and he mustn't look at prosperity. The Lord must be his all in all. The Lord wanted him in that land, not just so that he would share material blessings, but that he would be where the Lord was, his company. The little hymn says, if I had but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside, oh, then everything is mine in Jesus. For my needs and more, he will provide. Oh, dear young person, you have everything in him. Apart from him, there's nothing for you. You might go back to the world, you say. Yes, but the world can't satisfy. Well, poor Abram, the next thing he had to learn And the hardest lesson of all was to learn his own heart. To learn his own heart. Oh, this was a harder lesson than anything else. Was sad when his father left him, when his father died. It was sadder still when troubles arose in this very place where the Lord had called him to. But now Abraham had to learn his own heart. And dear young people, we have to learn that. It tells us in the 7th chapter of Romans, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So surely if everything else has failed, Abraham could have some confidence in himself, in his own godliness. He could look back and say, "Well, I've made a lot of progress." But God must teach Abram his own heart. And I say again, dear young people, and I say it to myself too, this is a painful lesson, perhaps the most painful of all, to learn our own heart. Our own heart. What did Abram do? He went down into Egypt, but that wasn't all. When he got down there, he actually told a lie about his wife. He actually denied his proper relationship to his wife. Think of such a man of God as Abram. I don't suppose he ever thought he would have done such a thing. But this was something he had to learn. And if you and I don't keep near the Lord, dear young people, we may do something we never thought we'd do. I remember a dear brother saying to me, "Oh," he said, "there was one thing I thought I'd never do, but," he said, "I did it. I did it." Oh, dear young people, we don't know our own heart. It says in Proverbs, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's my heart. That's your heart. We can't trust them. And even though we're gathered to the Lord's name, we can't trust them. Even lower in the place where the Lord would have us to be, God allows things that manifest to us the wretchedness of our own poor heart. And poor Abraham, this man of faith, this one who had made such progress up to this point, now he turns his back upon this place between Bethel and Hai. He turns his back upon his altar, and he takes up and starts down. And he had no tent, no altar in Egypt, and he denied his relationship to his wife, and he had to be rebuked by the world. He had to be rebuked by the world. Oh, how easy it is to get away from the Lord. How easy it is, dear young people, to learn in the experimental school of God what is in our hearts. Was this even a necessary experience in the life of Abram? Yes, what he didn't learn, what he should have learned in communion with the Lord, what he should have learned by dependence upon the Lord, he had to learn through a fall. But was the Lord through with Abram? No, it was after this that Abram said, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And oh, dear young person, if you've got away from the Lord, it's not over with you. It's not all up with you. The Lord still can bless you. He'll restore you. He'll bring you back. And maybe that lesson that you've had to learn in such a hard way, and many of us have had to learn things the hard way, all of us to some extent, why the Lord teaches us in these things, but he's not through with us. His purpose is to bless us and to teach us more than ever before. But he is our shield. He alone is our protector. He alone is our exceeding great reward. You and I can't depend on ourselves. We can't depend on anything within. You may say, "Well, I think I've got a strong character. I think that if I set out to follow the Lord, I would. I think I can go out with young people and do things, and I have a strong character. I wouldn't give way." Well, we don't know our own heart. Not one of us do. I'm sure I don't. And the only way that we are safe is as we have in the 16th Psalm. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." So Abram next had to learn his own heart. He had seen his father turn back. He had seen the famine come into the land, and he could look around and wonder, why has this famine come? But now he learns that he can't even trust himself. Yes, the Lord knocks the props away. He knocks the things away that we lean on. But why was it? He wanted to be everything to Abram. He wants to be everything to you, dear young person. He wants to be your all in all. He wants to fill and satisfy your heart. He wants to bless you and make you a blessing. Not only bless you, but your life can be a blessing to others. And it's only in the measure in which we have learned that Christ is everything that we can really be a blessing to others. Well, and it tells us that in the 20th verse, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. Yes, Abram had to be rebuked by the world, but God used this circumstance. Now, and Abram turns his footsteps back, and he comes right back to the place where he left. He comes right back to the place where he left. And oh, how sweet it is to see one who has wandered away coming back to the Lord, coming back to his table. When Naomi got away, why, the Lord worked in her heart. She heard in the country of Moab how that God had visited his people in giving them bread. And she came back. And when she did, it says, the whole city was moved. And they said, is this Naomi? Yes, she came back. And Abram came back. He had learned this lesson dearly, but he came back to the place where he had been at the first. In the third verse, perhaps I should read from the first. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Yes, he's brought back. Well, I just want to call your attention to this, that when Abraham came back from Egypt, he was rich in silver and gold, but he brought back a Hebrew, he brought back an Egyptian slave from there, that afterwards caused some trouble and sorrow in his house. And if we've got away from the Lord, sometimes there's a little reaping that goes with it. Sometimes there's a reaping. It's true, God teaches us, but it's a painful lesson when we have to learn it at such a cost. And we know that through Hagar, Ishmael was born, and Ishmael became a sorrow in the house of Abram, and he became a sorrow to the whole nation ever since. So I pray, dear young people, may the Lord keep you. You don't have to learn the hard way. The Lord can teach you and I what our hearts are if we get into his presence. If we get before him, he allows the light of his word to shine upon our hearts, and he shows us that there's nothing good there. And so we find that Abram, he learned it the hard way. But we can learn it in communion. We can learn what's in our hearts by keeping near the Lord. And I hope each one of us will by his grace. But Abram was restored. We can be thankful for that. He was restored. But now there was another disappointment ahead for him. Why, what about Lot? At least he had Lot. His father had gone. He had seen a famine in the land. He had now learned himself, and now another disappointment. The one person that seemed to have some similar outlook like himself, one who seemed to have some heart for the things of God like himself, who had left the land of, Ur of the Chaldees with him, why, he turns out to be a disappointment too. Yes, and perhaps you have some very dear friends. And you counted on that friend. That friend's been true to you. Even in your mistakes, he hasn't forsaken you. Even when you've done what's wrong, he still seemed to be what you wanted a friend to be. One who was true to you through it all. And then that friend turns out to be a disappointment. That friend turns out to be a disappointment. Did he? He'd lost almost everything, hadn't he? It just seemed that one by one the things that he had confidence in, that he had considered to be worthwhile, they were all being taken away. They were just all being swept away. And Lot, there was a quarrel arose, and Lot went down towards Sodom. And poor Abram, what a trial this must have been as he watched the only person that had been his companion, I suppose the only person that he knew who had faith beside himself and his wife. He watched and he saw him fade off in the distance and pitch his tent towards Sodom. Another disappointment. But disappointments are his appointments, dear young people. The disappointments that come in life, they're allowed of the Lord. Because the Lord wanted to be everything, he was sweeping away all these things so that he might be everything to Abram. He couldn't say at the very beginning to Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He didn't feel the need of that at first. But it's when other things fail that the Lord Jesus then comes to show us that he can be and wants to be our all in all. And so here, Lot fades off and goes down towards Sodom. And Abram now is left alone. And it says in the 14th verse, And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, and all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. After Lot was gone, then the Lord said, Abram, lift up your eyes. Your young person, has things on earth failed? Has the Lord allowed these things to come in your life? Oh, I want to point your eyes up. Look up. The Lord's the same. He's the same. And he says, Arise, walk through the land. I've given it to you. Dear young person, walk in the enjoyment of what you have in Christ. That can't be taken from you. Everything else may fail, but Jesus never fails. We have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And it says, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That which is really yours, that which is really yours can't be touched. It's up there. And what about all Abram's friendships? Abram was called the friend of God. The friend of God. And oh, there's one, I say, who wants to be your friend. The little hymn says, I've found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And every time he allows a disappointment, it's just that he might wind around your heart again a fresh strand of those cords of love and make you realize that he's always true. He's ever the same. And the loss of those things that we hold dear is to make himself more exceedingly precious to our hearts. Well, in the next chapter, the 14th chapter, we find that there was trouble that came in the life of Lot down in Sodom. Yes, there was a battle that took place there, and poor Lot, he was carried away captive, carried away from his place down there in Sodom, and made a captive. And so Abram went after him. Surely this was the opportunity to regain the friend that he had lost. Surely now, if he goes at such personal expense, at such risk of his own life, and goes after Lot and recovers him, Lot will love him forever. Lot will want his company after this. Surely he would appreciate such kindness. But did he? He went down, at a great personal expense and risk, he rescued Lot. He rescued Lot's wife and all that Lot had and brought him back. And what did Lot do? He remained in Sodom. He didn't appreciate it. He didn't appreciate it. Yes, what a disappointment. Have you done something for a friend? You've gone out of your way to be especially nice. You have shown that you wanted to do all that you possibly could. And still, that friend disappointed you. That friend disappointed you. Now Abram had a great opportunity. He could have had some of the riches of Sodom for himself. The king of Sodom comes out and offers him. He said, as it were, something like this. Well, Lot, or Abram, everything's gone the wrong way in your life. Disappointment after disappointment has fallen. But you can still have something of the world's goods if you want it. You can have some of the share in this spoil. But there was another person met Abram at this time. It was Melchizedek, the possessor of heaven and earth. Bless Abram. The possessor of heaven and earth. Did he need what Sodom's king had to offer? And oh, dear young person, sometimes when a time of trial comes, those two people come out to us too, and there seems to be an opportunity to have something of the world, something to take the place of what we have lost in the material. But may the Lord give you the grace to do what Abram did. Abram refused. Abram said, I've lifted up my hand unto the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. He said, I don't want a thread or a shoe latchet. I don't want a thread or a shoe latchet. No, he said, I don't want to be made rich by the world. Why? Well, he had everything in the Lord. These lessons that came in his life had turned out to be a profit to him. And dear young person, I say again, the Lord allows trials and disappointments and sorrows to come, but it's all that we might realize that he is our all in all. And there's no time more dangerous than when we go through a trial, than when things of earth seem to fail. There is a time when we're too likely to turn to the world. Oh, how many a young person I've seen get in some trial or some tight spot, and the Lord had allowed that for their blessing. But instead, when they got frustrated and disappointed, they turned to the world. But I believe we can say Abram had learned something of his own heart, and so he didn't turn to the world here. No, instead of this, he refused it all. And so what happened? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. There you have the Lord. He hasn't failed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And the shield suggests the thought of protection. Oh, he can look after you. He's the one who can look after your interests. He knows your every need. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Can it be that He has purposed us for that scene of eternal glory, and that He doesn't care about the little things that we need in life down here? Oh, yes, He does, but He wants us to realize that they all come from Him. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. That's where the good things come from. Come down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that Abram had put his hand to seemed to have failed. And the Lord comes and he says, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Was that better than Mesopotamia? Far better. Was it better than his father's? Was it better than himself and all that he could do by the force of his own will and strength of character? Was it better than Lot for a friend? Yes, he had everything. He had the Lord. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, Abram said, but there's just one thing. There's just one thing I want. You haven't given me any child. You haven't given me any child. And perhaps there's someone here who says, but there's just one thing I want. If the Lord would just give me that one thing, I'm content if disappointments come and there are certain troubles come. We have to expect them. But I haven't asked a lot of the Lord, but there's one thing that I especially want, and the Lord hasn't allowed me to have it. This I've been disappointed in. That's where we find Abram right here. This is where we find him. He said, I'm content to see the loss of everything. I don't want Ur of the Chaldees anymore. I don't want what Sodom's got. But he said, you promised me a child, and you haven't given me a son. You haven't given me a son. Perhaps that's the case with someone here. You say, I know the Lord is interested. I know the Lord cares. I know He loves me. I've experienced some of these things you talk about. But oh, there's something that I've been asking Him for. Why doesn't He grant it? Well, isn't this lovely here? In the fifth verse, and He said, and He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heavens. Look now toward the heavens. Don't look around. Because if he looked around, he could see no possibility whatever of God's promise being fulfilled. There was nothing in view. He could scan the horizon over. There was no possibility that he could see. He was an old man. His wife was old. There was no possible chance in a natural way that he could see for this desire to be fulfilled. Well, the Lord says, don't look around, look up. Look up. Here, young person, look up. Look up. The Lord Jesus wants to be your all in all. He wants to be everything to you. He knows what's best for you and for me in our lives down here. And He Himself has charged Himself. As a little hymn says, the protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. We didn't ask Him for this. He took this charge upon Himself. He took it upon Himself to protect us, to care for us. Abram hadn't asked that God would be his shield. The Lord says, I am thy shield. He hadn't asked for a reward. The Lord says, I'm your reward. And the Lord Himself has charged Himself with your blessing and mine. He wants to be everything. Paul had to learn it. Paul said, I counted all things but loss. But then he goes a step farther. And he says, and I count all things but loss. He counted, that was the fact. He says, I count all things but loss. Where was he when he said it? He was in prison. When he was first saved, he counted all things but loss for Christ. But he had a lot of disappointments. Had his reckoning changed? No, he says, I count. A present tense. A man in the prison? Could he expect temporal things? Could he expect friends? His brethren forgot him? Oh, there were a lot of disappointments, but he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Yes, dear young person, may the Lord give you and I grace to do this very thing. He's pointing us upward tonight, he said, this afternoon. He says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. They tell us that men tried to count the stars. They even thought they had. But the mighty telescopes of today have revealed the fact that stars can't be numbered. Can't be numbered. They're innumerable. And God has such blessing in store for you and for me, that it can't be measured. Through endless ages of eternity, He's going to continue to shower upon us the exceeding riches of His grace. And so what does it say about Abram? And he believed on the Lord. He didn't believe in his friends. They had disappointed him. He didn't believe in himself, because he'd learned something of his own heart. But he believed on the Lord. And oh, I desire this afternoon that the Lord Jesus might be more to each one of our hearts. And that the disappointments in life may cause us to realize that it's not the Lord taking away something from us, but it's that He might be to us here and now a little bit of what He's going to be to us for all eternity. He wants to be more to you. I believe it was after this that Abram was called the friend of God. And may God grant that you and I may realize that God Himself, in wondrous grace, takes away these things so that He might be our friend. Someone, a little saying in the world is, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And that precious Savior, when He takes away these things, He's the truest friend, the dearest friend. And He wants to be that to you, dear young person. He'll never disappoint you. Look up. Lift your eyes toward heaven. And know that He says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.